Blog Talk Radio.
You're now tuned into the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth and beyond. You're tuned into the voice of an entire nation. Welcome to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names of love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, blogtalkradio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly salamjournal.com and salamjournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, let me say unto you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful platform for truth anywhere on the web and anywhere on the face of the earth. This is your platform for black education, liberation, and edification. This is the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled, The Debt Bomb's Fuse Has Been Lit, and Now the End Begins. Now, there's so many things going on. You know, I had this choice to talk about these events that are going on in the Middle East, which we will talk about this, but to basically put the show in that arena. But it was so many things that was happening in the last few days in the markets, along with what was going on in the Middle East, along with what was going on in Asia, that I had to talk about this debt bomb. You know, as I'm speaking on that, I got a message from one of our listeners in Asia. And the brother told me that looks like you were right, Rashid, about India. He's talking about the situation over there. They listen to the show. As a matter of fact, we're listening to it in so many countries, it's hard to name them all. But my point to you is that people outside of America, and then even the white people and the different colors of people in America, listen to this show and are not as dead as we are. They will acknowledge that we are telling the truth. They will acknowledge what is going on. They will acknowledge that Elijah Muhammad must be right when he's telling you these things. Because remember, when I tell you these things, I'm not telling you unless I say, well, I think. But outside of I think, I'm telling you what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said would happen. And we are watching this stuff in real time, which should make your heart happy. Because all of these things are for the liberation and the salvation first of the so-called American Negro and then the black nation universally across the globe. So these things should make your heart happy when you hear about America and China in a trade war, when you hear about the positioning of weaponry against each other in Europe, against the superpowers, America and Russia. You should be happy when you hear about the fallout over America's presence in Libya, Somalia, Yemen, Mali, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan. When you hear about all these things, it should make your heart happy because all of these things are steps towards breaking this white man's power. Just like in recently, as we're talking about the debt bomb fuse, all you can see on the media and all the alternative websites recently is about how chaotic the situation in Italy is and how this has a direct bearing on the American economy. This has a direct bearing on the unity and the cohesiveness of the European Union. This has a direct bearing on the so-called international order under the leadership and guidance of American Britain. If, as Muhammad tells us, that Allah goes to work to break the power of the white man, he tells us that in the Theology of Time. You can go read it. Or you can go listen to it if you don't want to read it. He says that God goes to work to break their trade. This is how God breaks their power. Right? Well, for so many years, America, Britain, and Europe have lived the life of luxury off the back of other people. But see, there's a policy that they put in place for that. Divide and conquer. Right? So they send in weapons, they pick their leaders, they pick and choose, and what they do, they set them at odds, at variance against each other. And then they pretend as though they're the civilized people. And then they offer a solution. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, when you allow this white man to do that, and you accept his solution, he rules both of you. But our people, we have not been quick to pick that up. So now you're seeing nations awakening and say they don't want America's or Britain's or France's or Germany's or the European world advising them. They don't want their solution. This is why the world is in chaos right now. Because Europe and America, they're trying to hold on to something that is not theirs. And you see a powerful jolt, a powerful earthquake that is rattling the financial order. Right? When I was telling you years ago about Italy and Greece, and I was telling you about how God was going to break Germany and cause a great divide and division, this is what Elijah Muhammad said. How God would destroy their trade and their trust with each other. Look at them. They're all at odds with each other. And they're saying that if Italy goes, this will break the entire euro currency and break the unity of the European Union. Is that not right? And I was listening to a few pundits in America talking about this has a direct bearing on the American economy. Man, I'm telling you. What? Because they're so interconnected and intertwined that if someone sneezes in Europe, America gets a cold, and vice versa. Because they have been manipulating the markets, and God allowed this to happen. A lot of you don't understand what is going on, right? To break the military power of these so-called military juggernauts, you break their financial order. If you cannot fund the military expeditions and excursions around the world, you cannot project military and political influence and power over your former colonies. And you cannot have what you call the international order under the West. Right? How the hell can you have it if you have no funds to keep it going? It takes money for this stuff. So what God did, he allowed the white man to become unhinged from reality. He allowed, he fed them blood as though it was sweet wine. He allowed them to unhitch their economies from gold. And still, Elijah Muhammad specifically stated these things in Fall of America. As a matter of fact, I believe in 1959 or 1960-something, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad went into depths on these things. I got the lecture rounds over and how God would break this white man's economy and how the gold and the silver had been gone so long that they wouldn't even know what it looked like. And he said that God is going to break their power of their currency. And he said, long after they no longer have the power of their currency, you and I will have currency. All right? We will have money. We will be able to make this money. What is it? What is the big thing right now? I want you to just listen to me for a second. What is the big thing going around? They're saying that if all fiat currency fails, America's no different. The euro is no different. Soon it will all collapse. Elijah Muhammad told you this in a lecture. Listen, but you're going to give Peter Schiff and them the credit for it, right? Because they're pumping it over the internet and you're going to talk about it because they said it. Elijah Muhammad was giving you an in-depth understanding of what we were to expect at the latter days of the collapse of America and the implosion of American power and influence and the collapse of the white world as a whole without the so-called value of their currency, because they put a denomination on it and say this is what it's worth. But without a sound backing and with the people awakening to the fact that this is only printed paper with no backing behind it, it is causing mistrust and disillusionment in the financial order. And people are challenging the position of the euro. People are challenging the position of the dollar. And to challenge the position of the dollar and to challenge the position of the euro is to challenge America and Europe itself, to challenge their wealth-based system, right? To challenge their privilege system, to challenge their economy and the livelihoods of these societies, right? And without these currencies, they cannot project power. Without these currencies, they cannot rule over you. So what we're looking at is a devolution of American and European power. We're looking at a devolution, not evolution, a devolution. They're devolving because the world is waking up. It's a wonderful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, to see these things, to understand these things, because some of us see it with the physical eye, but we don't comprehend it with that mental capacity. And this leaves us lost. We don't know how to go from pillar to post and navigate through these bombs that are being set off strategically by the Lord of the worlds. And we can get ourselves hurt, and we can get our loved ones hurt. But the dead bomb fuse has been lit, and now the end begins. They know this. I'm not just whistling Dixie. I'm not just speaking in the wind. This is what has them in an uproar. America herself is being challenged by the Yuan and by China. We told you this. How long we've been on the air? 8-9 years. We have been telling you this and been warning you of this for the entire time, because no one was talking about this. But we knew that Elijah Muhammad said that this yellow man was made for a specific purpose, to chase down this white man, this American white man, in everything that he dominated in. If you look to trade, what has happened? China has overtaken America in trade in Africa. China has become Europe's first or second largest trade partner. China is Russia's largest trade partner, right? Partner. China is Asia's largest trade partner. China is becoming South America, if it is not already, South America's largest trade partner. Okay? Military. China is gaining, if not an equal peer, a near peer, or even in some aspects greater than America. She didn't have this 10, 15, 20 years ago. Her technological prowess. Did you know China has the fastest supercomputers, the fastest two supercomputers on Earth? This wasn't the case 15, 20 years ago. She's the largest creditor nation. She's the largest manufacturer. She's the largest exporter. Her influence is growing everywhere. Her currency is chasing down the American dollar. Elijah Muhammad said that that yellow man was made for the specific purpose of chasing down this American white man in all spheres of his influence. Do you not see it now? You didn't see it when Elijah Muhammad said it, did it? You was all this man talking fairy tale. We're the most powerful nation on earth. I remember one brother said that to me. The dollar ain't gonna never fall. We're too rich. See, America was rich on borrowed time. This goes back to what I was just saying earlier. When the trust of the fiat currency evaporates and people look behind the assigned denominations of paper and ask for some intrinsic value, and there is no gold, there is no silver, there is no manufacturing capacity, then sooner or later, they will demand value for that which they traded for. Remember, the reason America, one of the main reasons that America became a superpower is because after World War I and after World War II, the mainland of America was mainly untouched. And while other nations were rebuilding, she had the manufacturing capacity to build for the, to manufacture and trade with the whole world. That is no longer the case, is it? China has that manufacturing capacity. And Africa, believe it or not, Africa, brothers and sisters, Africa is now becoming a hub for international trade. You know that? I know some of you don't understand it, but China, as a matter of fact, let me read something to you. Okay, yo, give me a second. Let me read something to you. And this is just to point out, remember how China has gone into Africa and you hear the white man, then you hear some of these black scholars is trumpeting this stuff here, that China is exploiting Africa. Well, listen, when two are trading, when two people from opposite ends of the world want something, sometimes their wants are at odds with the other, and so they make compromises, sacrifices. But remember, in prophecy, that to raise the black man up, he had to have his brothers from the four corners of the earth to help him because he had fallen to such a low level. But I want you to listen to something. To show you how this white man is displacing America and everything. I mean, this yellow man is displacing America and everything. To show you how the tides are turning. And this is one of the reasons why America is trying to destabilize Africa. And another reason she's trying to destabilize Central Asia and the Middle East, that One Belt, One Road by China. She does not want that to be connected, interconnected between the nations, because this excludes her. This pushes back her influence. This pushes the empire back to within her borders, right? She will not be able to exert political and economic and military influence over the nations who join this One Belt, One Road thing. And Europe is scared, even though some of them are members of the One Belt, One Road. They see something. They don't want white power to be challenged. They want to forever live in luxury off the back of other people because they're parasitic by nature. You understand? But let me read something to you to show you something that's not really talked about in the media, okay? I'm not going to take much of your time. This ties into the debt bomb fuse and shows you what's going on in Africa and why America is trying to destabilize these nations in Africa, okay? Because, and that why they're trying to give the Chinese, I'm not saying everything is benevolent between the Chinese nation and Africans, but I'm saying what they're doing, a lot of what they're doing is helping Africa to rise economically. And if they rise economically, and if they start being the manufacturing hub of the world, remember what happened to China? After that, after I told you that Chinese reporter went back to China, and at the time it was Peking and not Beijing, went back and reported to the leadership of China, and they implemented Elijah Muhammad's 5-year plan. And over the years, I think it's 60 years, 65 years, they went from the poorest nation on earth with no manufacturing capacity to the most economically proficient economy on earth, the largest manufacturer, the largest importer, the largest exporter, right? And now they're rivaling the dollar with the yuan. This was the implementation of Elijah Muhammad's 5-year program. And now, if this is implemented elsewhere, look what happens. The title of this is How China is Transforming Africa into the New Factory of the World. China's decade-long assistance to Africa has borne tangible results with thousands of kilometers of new roads and dozens of airports, ports, and power stations built due to Beijing's investment projects. According to some researchers, Africa may emerge as a new global powerhouse. Listen to this good. I'm going to read that part again. And this is what has America and Europe spooked, because their power and their influence is receding, their economic prowess is in decline, and Africa is on the rise. See, they don't want the ex-slaves, the ex-colonies, to rise up equal to or greater than their former colonial masters. But the debt bomb is about to explode, and they cannot forestall this much longer. They cannot push this off, because the chickens will eventually come home to roost. Listen to this. According to some researchers, Africa may emerge as a new global powerhouse. China has been facilitating Africa's rise as a potential global manufacturing powerhouse, insists Irene Yuan's son in a new book eloquently titled The Next Factory of the World. Stop right there. So if this is the path that helped China rise to global prominence, and we're looking at it being reinstituted in Africa, and these scholars and scientists are saying, regardless of the news that you hear coming out of America and the Western press, the Eastern press is saying Africa is rising. The economies are growing. They're becoming the global manufacturing powerhouse. What happened when China became that? Right? In purchasing power terms, she has the largest GDP, gross domestic product, on earth. All right? Do you understand this? There's a change going on. This is what I'm trying to show you. There's a change, a universal change going on. Everything that was once dominated by the Caucasian, right, they're losing their sway, their power, their influence over it. And this has them up in arms. But let's go a little further. The book reveals how Beijing is now sharing its experience and best practices with the African continent, having transformed its own country into a production workshop over the past few decades. According to research from the Russian International Affairs Council, China has become the main trade partner of African countries since 2009. 60 to not exceed 70 years, right? And that yellow man intervenes in this time and starts helping Africa rise, right? Okay, let's go a little further. While in 2000, the total turnover between China and African states amounted to just $10 billion, the figure skyrocketed to over $220 billion in 2014. In 2017, China came out on top in providing loans to African countries with its total amount exceeding $100 billion. Beijing's major partners in the area of direct and portfolio investments are, and listen to this, when I read these names out, I want you to look at what's going on, the Boko Haram, all right? All right? The American and the German and the French and the Belgian and all of the NATO nations deploying in certain areas in Africa. And the instability that is growing in these nations, okay? This is not by chance this is happening. The white man is trying to maintain his sway. But listen to what he says. Beijing's major partners in the area of direct and portfolio investments are Egypt, Nigeria, Algeria, South Africa, Ethiopia, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Zambia, Angola, Morocco, Niger, Cameroon, Chad, and some other countries, the study says. Stop right there. Boko Haram, right? Political instability, the so-called Arab Spring, the need for training centers so that we can train and equip the African authorities. Is that not right? Isn't that what they say? Why are they doing this in these specific countries? It's because they see that this is what China has invested in, and this is what China gets a lot of its oil from. So the West is strategically trying to uproot Africa's rise, trying to upend it and uproot China's foothold there. Didn't we tell you that China would be a part, or the East would be a part of the rise of the black nation? Because they are part of the black nation. Didn't we tell you that? The white man is pretty much acknowledging this. And we told that this white man would fight tooth and nail to prevent brothers from unifying. But I want you to listen closer. And I want you, at the end of this, listen to what China has to say about what's going on. But this thing is not so long. I just want to just bear with me, because there are certain things up in here I want you to pay close attention to, because sometimes we read articles, just like when we listen to what people say, sometimes we're not hearing what is being said. We think we are, but we're not processing it. But I want you to listen. Observers single out the China-Africa Development Fund, more commonly known as the CAD Fund, which was created and funded by the state-owned China Development Bank in 2006 and became operational in 2007. Stop. That is another bank. Remember, China has the AAIB, the BRICS Bank, and they're formulating another bank, and they had the CAD, the CAD. This fund here, which the China Development Bank puts out, is to offer assistance at low and affordable rates and long-term repayment scale, with some of it being offset completely. This is to stop Africa from reaching for the IMF, you know, that parasitic bank that comes in and offers you loans but tells you and dictates your domestic and your foreign policy. Then if you're not able to pay them back, they send in jackals and overthrow governments, start civil disobedience and civil war and strife and color revolutions. So China is upending that by going in financially, putting that money where their mouth is. Brothers and sisters, we got time. It's 10, we got an hour and 2 minutes. I'm going to get to some clips. But I want to lay the base first to show you how the debt bomb fuse has been lit, and now the end begins. And as the end starts getting more intense, you'll see American, like we're trying to point out right now, American Europe being more desperate and instituting more desperate plans, right, to try. try to prevent the rise of the black nation universally. They're not just trying to prevent the, but we are the focus. We are the focus, and they're trying to prevent us from understanding what is going on, but they're trying to prevent the rise and the unification of the black nation universally, because they know the rise of the black nation means the fall of another. You don't have two kings sitting in the same chair, the same office at the same time. Two things does not occupy the same space at the same time. So when one is removed, the other one takes the place, right? But the one that is in the throne, he's trying to remain there against time and against nature and against prophecy. But it cannot be. He will not be successful in this. Listen to me closely. I'll come to you shortly, Rashid. Let me finish this real quick. Keep your hand up, brother. Listen to this. He says, unlike other agencies of the People's Republic of China, instead of providing loans, the funds carries out direct investments in Africa through co-financing. Listen to this good. The Western press says this is the recolonization of Africa. China didn't colonize Africa. It was the West. So how can it be a recolonization of Africa by China? See, you have to listen to this. This white man will make you think a lot of things, and you think you on point, and you be off base because they're thinking, and their mindset is different. Now, they had no problems with going in there killing millions and tens of millions of black people, stealing the land, right? And then leaving their seeds there, which comprise in each country mostly 2 and 3 and 5%, yet they control the banking sector. They control the real estate. They control the farming. They control the everything, right? And when the black people rise up and want what is theirs, the Western media, South African farmers are being killed. Well, if that was the case, get the hell out. You're not indigenous there. And if they kill 1,000, and I'm not advocating genocide, but if they killed 1,000 or 10,000 or maybe 10 million, it would be a drop in the bucket to what you have done and what you are doing to put your rule and stamp it on the lives of other people. You understand? So when we look at these things, let us look at it in totality and not fall victim to this Western so-called medium reporting, which is nothing but madness. Let's go further. He says, unlike other agencies of the People's Republic of China, instead of providing loans to fund, the funds carried out direct investments in Africa through co-financing of Chinese and foreign company projects on the African continent, meaning that they are going in it as co-owners, not going in there just ripping everybody off. You have a stake in this. You understand? Unlike Belgium, Germany, France, right, England, all of these nations that went in and just took what they wanted, killed millions of them, right, occupied the land until liberation set in or happened by these people who were tired of being ruled. And even after that, they still held a hold on them, just like you have some of these nations who were once colonies, open colonies, where they're hidden colonies now. They become part of these former colonial masters, so-called organizations like Commonwealth and all of this stuff. This is to keep you under their order to strengthen their economic position off your back. This is why they overthrew the Gambia. Because the good brother there, Yahya, he pulled out everything. He wouldn't allow homosexuality in his country. He openly proclaimed Islam as the nation's religion. And he said he would not give his wealth to these colonial powers. And so they undermined him. And they did the same to Muammar Gaddafi, right? And they're doing it to all of these. Look what they've done to our great brother, Robert Mugabe, the Honorable Robert Mugabe. And soon as he was overthrown, they started distancing themselves from the policies that he enacted. And they started turning the land back over to the same people who had robbed the black people in Zimbabwe of their land. You see, the white man is doing this. See, this is why you have to look at the nations that these people talk about and wonder why. Oh, ISIS there. And then, but when they kill ISIS, then somebody else pops up. And do you ever wonder how in the hell they know so many of the leaders? How in the hell do they get funding? How can America, with a satellite, pinpoint somebody in a cave but don't know the gathering with her intelligence agencies, the gathering of groups to start insurrection in nations? It doesn't make sense. And how do you know them so thoroughly when they come out of nowhere? and within minutes of our attack, you naming everybody in the whole family down the family tree. You understand? Brothers and sisters, this is technology of the devil because he's desperate. Well, he's doing what nature bids him to do. Let me finish this article. I have to make these statements while I'm reading because I want you to understand what we're reading. Man, time is going by. Now listen, he says, over the last 10 years, the institution has invested about $3.2 billion in 91 projects in 36 African states. According to 2017 data, African countries annually produce 11,000 trucks, 300,000 air conditioners, 440,000 refrigerators, 390,000 TV sets, and 1.6 million tons of cement within the framework of the CAD Fund initiatives. That's just according to the CAD Fund. Now, when you factor in all these other, Africa is rising collectively as a manufacturing powerhouse. And this is why, in those 36 countries mentioned here, America said we must expand our training to many more African countries. Why? Because she's trying to destabilize that partnership. She's trying to overthrow government, get her foothold in these nations. Well, we'll give aid to these nations. We'll do this, the bribery. And then if that doesn't happen, she puts in her NGOs and foments, she finds somebody that's dissatisfied in their society. And she pinpoints them and offers them, we can help you become powerful. We can help you become rich. We can help you. Give us some information on more people who are dissatisfied. And once she hits that dissatisfied note, the divide and conquer techniques come in. And if that is not sufficient, then direct military action because she demonizes the victim and victimizes the demon. Is that not right? So let's go further. Although the fund does not publish data on its specific endeavors, RIAC, which is the acronym, suggests that it participates in energy and infrastructural projects, industrial production, extraction, and the processing of natural resources in agriculture. Over the last decade, the PRC, the People's Republic of China, took part in the construction of more than, listen to this. Now, this is what, and they're saying it's colonization. They don't want Africa to rise, but listen what China has helped Africa to do. And we've already read some of it, but I just want you to listen to what is going on. Over the last decade, the PRC took part in the construction of more than 100 industrial zones, 40% of which have already become operational. Moreover, over 5,700 kilometers of railway, 4,300 kilometers of motor highway, 9 ports, 14 airports, 34 power stations, as well as 10 large and about 1,000 small hydroelectric power stations were built in Africa by the end of 2016 due to China's assistance. Stop right there. Can America say they did that? Can Belgium say that they did that? Can England and Germany and France, the former colonial powers, can they say that they invested and did that and helped Africa to rise economically? No, because this is the memory gland of Western powers. They attach to that breast and they suck the life out, the economic life out, to sustain their own societies, and they leave them in the dust and then foment insurrection and turmoil, and then when they bomb the countries or overthrow the governments and the turmoil is spilling over, then they start talking about African migrants spilling over to Europe. But they don't address the cause of the spilling over to Europe. They weren't coming before they bombed Libya and Somalia. They weren't coming when they had functioning governments that were not at the time overthrown or destabilized by the so-called countries that are whining about African migrants overtaking Europe. Oh, brothers and sisters, they can't hold on much longer because the debt bonds fuse has been lit, and it's time to pay the piper. But let's get to the nitty-gritty of this, and then we'll wrap this up and go to the phone lines. Then I'll start playing clips for you to tie all this in. But you know, to lay the base, sometimes it takes an hour to lay the base. But bear with me, brothers and sisters. I love you. It says, China's railway projects in Africa are largely regarded as a game changer that could help boost political integration in the region. This is what America does not want. She does not want the unification of the black, the brown, the red, and the yellow, because this weakens her hand and pushes her out and exposes her for who she is. He says, it goes further and says, as Nikolai Sherbakov, an analyst at the Center for African Studies of the Institute of General History of the Russian Academy of Sciences, told a reporter, it is quite risky to invest in any production in Africa, including the construction of railways. But the Chinese are taking this risk. Why is it risky? Because of the instability that is continuing to be fomented by the West. They are doing this on purpose. Notice the exact route that China said the One Belt and One Road would be. All of a sudden, the Taliban and ISIS is being more belligerent there. These things do not happen by chance. These so-called terrorist organizations, these are intelligence apparatus or tools of the intelligence apparatus of the West, of America, of Great Britain. This is what they are. But let's go further. The analysts opine that China had become nothing short of a gift bestowed from heaven for Africa. Why would he say that? In other words, he's alluding to China being in God's plan for Africa. Didn't we tell you that? Didn't we say that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that China would help? Did not we tell you that? This man from Russia is saying the same thing, and he's a global thinker, an analyst that thinks on a global perspective. You understand? He's saying the same thing. But let's go further. While the figures related to China's development assistance to Africa released by Beijing appears to be relatively low, a U.S. research institute, the Center for Global Development, revealed that between 2000 and 2016, Beijing's aid was in fact much higher than what was officially declared. So China wasn't telling them everything. China didn't announce that, oh, we gave you $40 billion. China said, oh, yeah, we helped with $3 billion. America sees that. He says, actually, it almost reached the level of $75 billion. And China only reported a couple billion. If one takes into account the country's projects in the field of health, education, and culture, these are institutions that must be established for any rise to take place of a nation. And this is being helped by China. But listen, it says, shedding light on the country's work on the African continent, the Chinese media usually emphasizes Beijing's non-interference principle as a cornerstone of its diplomacy. They don't interfere. They say they won't interfere in your domestic. Not like the West, right? America, you have to do this. We demand you do that, right? Brother, I tell you the truth. This is almost at the end of the article. As a matter of fact, I'm at the last paragraph. Listen to this. China, I want you to pay close attention to this last. China and Africa are a closely allied community with a shared future. Elijah Muhammad told you that. The people's daily rights. The cooperation is between two brothers. Didn't Elijah Muhammad tell you that? It's so easy to prove, Elijah Muhammad, that I know some of you be saying, I hate that nigga. But as long as God loves me, it don't matter. Listen, the cooperation between two brothers, no matter how the international situation or world economy may evolve, there is no weakening in China's support for Africa. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? You hear what they're saying. We told you these things. We told you Elijah Muhammad said these things, and now you're seeing them coming to fruition, and now you understand why it is imperative at this moment that America does everything she can, that Britain helps with everything she can, that Europe and NATO help with everything they can to destabilize Africa, Central Asia, and the Middle East. Because if they don't, they lose their economic memory gland, excuse me. That's what they lose. And there's no more getting resources when the nations become financially independent. Then they demand, when nations become financially independent, then they demand things that they would not normally demand from powers that are their peers or once was greater than them. Is that not right? And this is what's causing the global upheaval. Because it's time. It is time that the black nation rise. Right? Let me go to the lines real quick. Then we're going to come right back. And we're going to address this with some clips because the time is short. Let me go to my good brother, Brother Rashid. Brother Rashid, I say unto you, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, brother. How you doing?
Brother, I'm feeling good. How about yourself?
That's fine, brother. What you were saying about China and the Europeans, can't you see the difference in people? See, this is what most people don't want to work. Well, this color don't got nothing to do with this. It is in the man's DNA to start trouble. He can't help himself.
Yeah.
China goes in there and gives him a bunch of goods and stuff, and China is not going in there and telling him, hey, wait a minute, you got to take homosexuality with you. See, you got to have prostitution over there. You got to have thievery and robbery. That's the white European nature. Wherever he goes, he brings his self with him. No matter where he goes, he got to have his vices and his evil and stuff. Well, getting back also on what you had said earlier, the white man, talking about the cat in Africa should leave. Well, you know, you didn't wasn't there for since the dawn of time. Well, if you tell him to leave, well, actually, where would he be natural at? All of
no place on planet Earth.
He had to leave America. This is our land. Well, didn't you steal it?
That's right.
He stole it.
That's right.
Canada, he stole that. Mexico, he stole that. South America, he stole that. Hawaii, he stole. Everywhere he went in there and robbed the people and enslaved them. And the same thing with no matter where the European is and what time he is in history, he got to do the same thing. See how he brutalized the Palestinians? What, didn't he brutalize the people of North America?
That's right.
Didn't he brutalize the people of South America? Didn't he brutalize China, Japan? You need to read how Japan, after they conquered Japan, what the European did to that. Roving bands and gangs of rapists.
Yep.
Raping Japanese women everywhere. He's the devil of your scripture.
Yep.
Elijah Muhammad
was right. And speaking on that, isn't that why there was an uprising in Cuba that when what is his name? Castro and them up because they got tired of America turning their women in Cuba into prostitutes and alcoholics and the pushing of drugs through there and the revolution took place. People don't realize this. They don't tell them this in the history book, and our people are too lazy to study. If they read one or two books, they think they know it all.
That's right. They know everything, and nobody can tell them anything because, you know, the slave master taught me, and the slave master knows everything, and what do you know? Elijah Muhammad is on point in everything he teaches. Before Elijah Muhammad taught, the white man didn't know what he was talking about by the other universe.
That's right.
Before Master Farad Muhammad came to us, the white man was teaching in his school that the earth was 86 million miles away from the sun.
That's right.
Master Farad Muhammad said it was 93 million miles away from the sun. He tells us about the universe, that there's an atmosphere around the universe. Why the planets wobble? What force puts it? Nobody else knows nothing about that stuff. But since he's a black man from America, we're supposed to ignore him. That's the abjection of the understanding of a fool. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Continue on.
All right, brother, due to a lot. Yes, sir, brother. Hold on 1 second. Let me mute you. This is going. All right, we'll go to the phone lines again. 840, you're on the Star and Crescent Report. I say unto you, assalamu alaikum.
Peace. I'm just listening. I don't have anything to say to add on to the
question. I couldn't hear the last part of what you said.
Oh, I'm just listening to the show.
Okay. All right, I'm sorry. I made a mistake and hit the button. Okay, brother, thank you. Let me go back. But this is something that we don't process because everything we analyze it through a Eurocentric way. Even when we're talking about black power and black liberation, well, first thing the black man say, he got to pick the gun up. Isn't that the way the white man does it? Everywhere that white man is bitten, that's what he's taking with him, his guns. Is that not right? And what happened after that? Nothing but bloodshed, gore, death, misery, and destruction and occupation for centuries to come. Is that not right? Now, the reason that the Muslims don't carry weapons is because we believe that our God is the supreme God, and he will deliver us in our time of need. Now, think about this. I want you to understand this. This white man, he uses his gun, and we in the Black Liberation Movement say that, and we boldly put this stuff out on Facebook. And we have our guns, our rifles, our automatics, and I'm not saying that you can't own something if you live in certain parts of the country and stuff. I'm not saying that. Listen, so don't take this as a blanket statement, because I already know what people do. Brother Rashid said this without understanding. I'm addressing things right now. Listen, who makes the weapons? Is there any black gun manufacturers in America? Huh? Any notable black gun manufacturers in America? No. What about the ammo? No. Well, if you believe that that gun can protect you, right? And I want you to understand this. You go and get the gun and you see it on TV. You see it on Facebook. I got my gun. I can do this. How in the hell can you repel a beast so brutal when nations with standing armies can do it, who had warships, warplanes, submarines, bombs, guns, weapons that were far superior to yours? And you got you a AK-47 that you purchased from the same white man that you saying you're going to go to war with, yet you got to buy the bullets from this white man, and if he shoots you, you got to go to his doctor because you don't own a hospital. And you say, Mr. White Man, stitch me up. And he say, why should I stitch you up? Because I want to go back on the battlefield and kill you and your children. Do you not see, when you analyze this stuff, do you not see that this is madness? You have to trust in the God who has power. How did he go to break that white man's power? Look what's going on in America. There's a great divide. And the divide is growing in every area, in every spectrum of life in America. This is the force of separation, and it forced the world to look at these people for who they are. God is showing the world that he's justified in attacking this white man. Let God do it. Libya can do it. Iraq had a million-man standing army and can do it. And you telling me with a Walmart bolt weapon you can do it? No, that's that Eurocentric mind in you. It has to be something greater to overcome this beast. So God goes to work and destroys his economy, puts him on the level of his ex-slave, let him see how it feels, embarrasses him before the world, isolates him before the world, and makes him die a death by a thousand cuts because he's losing his position in everything that he once dominated. And the world is making mockery of his president and of the policies of the so-called first world nation, America. The empire is dying. The dam has sprung leaks everywhere. And soon it will not be able to withstand the pressure of the political, the geopolitical, the military, and the economic pressure, the water that is pushing this dam to break. It is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, even Ron Paul is saying that America is becoming a just a joke. And the world is laughing at America, and her influence is receding. This is Mr. Ron Paul. I think he was a congressman for, 18, 20 years? He ran for president three times? He's a doctor, right? His son is a senator. He's an influential white man. Matter of fact, instead of me telling you, listen to what he's saying about what's going on, okay? Here we go.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Weekly Report. America's incredible shrinking influence. Just 2 weeks after President Trump pulled the U.S. from the Iran nuclear agreement, his Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, issued 12 demands to Iran that could never be satisfied. Pompeo knew his demands would be impossible to meet. They were designed that way, just like the Austria-Hungary's ultimatum to Serbia in July of 1914 that led to the beginning of World War I. And just like the impossible demands made of Milosevic in 1999 and of Saddam Hussein in 1991 and 2003, and so many other times when Washington wanted war, these impossible demands are tools of war rather than steps toward peace. Secretary Pompeo raged at Iran. The mainstream news media raged at Iran. Trump raged at Iran. But then a strange thing happened. Nothing. The Iranians announced that they would remain committed to diplomacy and would continue to uphold their end of the nuclear agreement if the Europeans and other partners were willing to do the same. Iranian and European officials then sought out contacts in defiance of Washington in hopes of preserving mutually beneficial emerging commercial relations. Washington responded to the European snub by threatening secondary sanctions on European companies that continued doing business with an Iran that had repeatedly been found in compliance with its end of the bargain. Any independent European relationship with Iran would be punished, Washington threatened. But then again, very little happened. Rather than jump on Washington's bandwagon, German Chancellor Angela Merkel made two trips to Russia in May, seeking closer ties and a way forward on Iran. Russia and China were named as our prime enemies in the latest national security strategy for the United States. But both countries stand to benefit from the unilateral U.S. withdrawal from the Iran deal. When the French oil company Total got spooked by Washington's threats and pulled out of Iran, a Chinese firm eagerly took its place. It seems the world has grown tired of neocon threats from Washington. Ironically, the communist Chinese seem to understand better than the U.S. that in capitalism, you do not threaten your customers. While the U.S. is threatening and sanctioning and forbidding economic relations, its adversaries overseas are busy reaping the benefits of America's real isolationism. If President Trump's canceled meeting with North Korea's Kim Jong-un remains canceled, North and South Korea have shown that they will continue with their peacemaking efforts, as if Washington was no longer relevant. I've often spoken of the unintended consequences of our aggressive foreign policy. For example, President Bush's invasion of Iraq only helped Iran, our enemy, become more dominant in the Middle East. But it seems new consequences are emerging. And for the neocons, they must be very unintended, for all of its bellicosity, threats and demands, sanctions, and even bombs, the rest of the world is increasingly simply ignoring the demands of Washington and getting on with its own business. While I am slightly surprised at this development, as a libertarian and a non-interventionist, I welcome the growing irrelevance of Washington's interventionists. We have a far better philosophy and we must work hard to promote it so that it can finally be tried after neocon failures become obvious to everyone. This is our big opportunity. Thanks for listening.
So, you just heard what he said about the situation, how America is losing influence, how she's losing power, how people are ignoring her. Huh? You see how the nation on the outside are looking at America and say, this joke is crazy. So we're going to let her implode. And you know what he said? He said, even their policy is insane because you don't threaten your customers because your customers are your livelihood. All right? And America's doing that. The people whom she trades with, she even so with that, she's now threatening her creditor. This is crazy. This is the derision that the prophets had predicted would come. That God would smite her with derision. And only I call it the crackhead politics. Because, you know, when people on drugs, they don't think rational. They don't see that everybody else sees their lives. They don't understand that everybody else understands that they're trying to scheme or scam or whatever. They don't see it. They actually believe that they are scamming you. This is what America is doing. And think about this. China holds $1.some trillion in debt, U.S. debt. She has billions in investment portfolio in America, right? She can threaten her currency. She can threaten her militarily to rebuff her. And not only that, China has another $2+ trillion in currency bonds or treasuries, right? And America just sanctioned. Now listen to this. According to one study, and this is from a major, major publication, I forget what it was called, China produces 93% of the products on the shelves in the stores in America. Listen to me good. 93%. 93. Not 3, not 9, 93%. The weapons chips that goes into her warplanes, her computers, her warships, her submarines come from China. The boots that her soldiers put on come from China. The fatigue that her soldiers wear, the hats that they wear, come from China. You understand? And you now want to sanction your supplier, your creditor, your manufacturer? Is that not the height of crackhead thinking? When they are, when a crackhead or somebody that's on drugs want to hide, they'll do and say anything to stay delusional and wrapped up in that high. This is what America does. She still wants the world to believe that I am, and there is none other, like Nebuchadnezzar. She wants the world to believe that she is that superpower that she was 20, 30, 40 years ago. I still have the economic clout. I was listening to a report last night when I was doing clips for the show. I didn't put the clip on because I just didn't have time. But they said that America's GDP, when she says she's $21 trillion, they said America's GDP is made up. Her GDP is not really even half of that. And then when you factor in the cost of oil and fuel and power, it's even less than that. And say, world leaders now know that. And they look at America when she trumpets the largest economy in the world. They know that China has far surpassed her economy. And that's why the nations are willing to make these bilateral trade agreements, these currency swap deals, and to go around American sanctions and dealing with China and the nations that China wants them to deal with. This means that America's in decline. Her influence is in decline. Her wealth is in decline. Look around in this society. The society is in decline. Because the debt bomb fuse has been lit. It has been lit when they took the wall of the gold and silver standard. What did Elijah Muhammad say? When they took the wall of the gold and silver standard, the financial doom of England and America was sealed. If you look to the English population and what's going on in England, mirror me back here. That's what it is. It's a mirror, a reflection here. They are both caught up, and this is why they're in these wars, and this is why they're destabilizing nations left and right, because they're fighting. When you have a desperate nation or a desperate person or a person that's been on top forever, for a long time, and they're losing to some young guns coming up, and they no longer have the stamina, the determination, the desire, the will, and the fortitude to maintain their position. Look in the kingdom, the animal kingdom. You can have this bad, bad beast for a long time, running a tribe or running his own, I'm talking about these animals, running their own pride. Sooner or later, some young guns come up, and they keep challenging them, and keep challenging them. And these fights wear on these older, as they get older, lions and tigers and all. And before you know it, a younger, stronger, bigger one comes up, and he looks for weakness, and once he finds that weakness, he challenges that person, and sometimes they fight to the death. This is what's going on. America's trying to stay in the position that she was in, but nature and time is against that. They must give it up, and we see that in everything, but I just want you to see the madness in America's policy as she sanctions her manufacturer, her largest trade partner, her rival, and her creditor. More than anything, her creditor. China could call in America's debt, and overnight interest rates would spike beyond your belief. The markets would crash, all of this. And yet you are sanctioning your creditor? Is that not the height of crackhead politics? Listen, I want you to pay close attention.
Now, the United States says it will continue pursuing action on trade with China just days after Washington and Beijing suggested the tensions had eased. According to a statement by the White House, Washington will soon push ahead with its plan to impose a 25% tariff on some $50 billion worth of Chinese goods. The U.S. will also continue to pursue a legal case it has filed against China at the World Trade Organization regarding intellectual property rights. Additionally, Washington will announce certain investment restrictions and export controls for Chinese individuals and entities. Earlier this month, the Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said the trade war with China was on hold. He said the two countries had made meaningful progress in their talks. Let's speak to Peter Koenig. He's a political and economic analyst, and he joins us via Skype from Lima. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV, Mr. Koenig. So what do you make of this change in tone once again by the White House? Something we're getting used to now, aren't we?
Yes, thank you. Yes, it's like almost everything by Trump, on again, off again, with these threats, will they materialize or just remain threats for propaganda purposes, for public consumption? Who knows? The same as we know with his with this long-expected head-to-head meeting between Trump and President Kim from North Korea in Singapore. It was on, then it was off, and now it is maybe. And I don't even want to talk about Iran. We know, everybody knows that that deal. So, you know, it could very well be the same with China and the so-called trade war. Is it a trade war or is it just propaganda? China certainly will not like tariff punishment, that's for sure. But I'm sure if it happens, China has many avenues to circumvent dealing and trading with the U.S. But once that happens, I'm afraid China may be lost, or a good part of it may be lost for the U.S. market. And Trump knows it. And therefore, a little bit of on and off game may actually test the waters and test the reactions of the people around the world and of China.
Right, so Mr. Koenig, can you explain a bit more on what avenues does China have at its disposal? Because right now, with all this acting by Trump, he makes it sound like the U.S. has the upper hand.
Well, that's always when Trump talks, you think at first he has the upper hand. But actually, China could, of course, also levy import duties on U.S. goods. China doesn't depend on the on U.S. imports. As we know, China is self-sufficient and has, as it is, a huge trade surplus vis-a-vis the U.S. China also controls the Asian market, which is huge. They have overtaken the U.S. already about 2 years ago. But frankly, what I do suspect, and this is something which, of course, doesn't seep through anywhere, but what I suspect is that Trump wants to discourage the world from using the yuan as a reserve currency, since as such, it would lower not only the value of the U.S. dollar, but it replaces the U.S. dollar successfully, and it has already begun to replace it as a de facto reserve currency. I remember only about 20 years ago or so, the U.S. dollar figured to about 90% as a reserve currency in all the treasuries of the globe. Today, that percentage has shrunk to below 60%. As you know, the yuan has become an official IMF reserve currency about a year ago, that established a worldwide trust in the Chinese currency, especially since the yuan is backed by the Chinese economy, plus by gold, whereas U.S. dollar has no backing whatsoever. It's pure, simple fiat money. Plus, also, the U.S. is broke. Everybody knows that. The U.S. has a current debt of about 110% of GDP, which is more than the Greek had in 2008. And if counting what the U.S. General Accounting Office calls unmet obligations or uncovered liabilities, the U.S. debt is about 7.5 times the U.S. GDP. Of course, they will never pay that back. That has been told many times. But still, it is it makes an impression. And these figures, I don't think they will go unnoticed by the treasurers of the world. So Trump's trade war with China, or you can call it propaganda for a trade war, might as well be just propaganda, just what it is, to lower the yuan, to diminishing its reputation, so as to deflect from every country's golden opportunities, I would almost call, to use the yuan to replace the dollar as a reserve currency.
Mm-hmm. Let's wait and see if other countries around the world take this bait. That's Peter Koenig, political and economic analyst, joining us via Skype from Lima. Mr. Koenig, it's always a pleasure talking to you on Press TV.
So he says the nations around the world know that America's broke. Isn't that what he said? He said, and this is just propaganda. And the main thing that he said is that this stuff is to dissuade and discourage other nations from using the yuan, because America had 90% of the currency reserves in dollars around the world. And when China introduced the yuan, it dissipated to just over 60%, or just right at that number, 60%. That's a 30% drop in just the last few years. The dollar is dropping like a stone. So these are currency wars. So this is why America is over there. All of the nations that are helping China and that China is helping in Africa, guess what's happening? Terrorists are all of a sudden flooding in there. In China's underbelly, terrorists are flooding into Afghanistan, right? In the former Soviet space. America sanctions nations who do trade with China, with Russia also, who buys Russian weapons, even though Russian weapons are more durable than American weapons. See, this is dissuade trade with Russia. To sanction China is to dissuade trade in the currency of China, which is now has become a de facto international currency. America's fighting like hell, so you see the provocations in the South China Sea. She's doing this to try to tell China, chill it. We don't want you challenging our economic prowess. It's more so economic than military. But there's a military wing to the economic. And this is why you have them thumping their chest and facing off internationally. And this is to keep you subjected here in America. Because if the dollar is maintained, you don't go free. They will still finance their domestic military called the police department. But without the funds to do so, you go free. So God goes to work and breaks their trade, breaks their economy, breaks their stranglehold over the nations with their currency in decline. This is the fall of America. The debt bombs, listen, these are nuclear, thermonuclear bombs being let loose, which are more devastating than a physical thermonuclear bomb. Because this happens and the people suffer and they have no way around it. Listen. As I play this, I see the time is going down. We're going to try to get a couple more clips in. What I'm trying to do is explain to you why, how, what, when, and the where, so that you can understand these events that they talk about on TV, but they don't give you insight. These events that you see on the news, even the alternative media, don't go into this. But this is a time unlike any time before, because you're witnessing what Jesus and all of the holy prophets of God wanted to see. They wished that they could see just one day of the coming of the Son of Man. You're not listening. You're not living in one day of his coming. Your whole life has been in the presence and the manifestation of that Son of Man. And all that the prophets prophesied would come, you're watching it. So we're in the fulfillment of prophecy. This ain't going to go on forever. Prophecy is not forever. There must be a culmination point, a breaking off point. And so we're looking at all of these little bombs exploding, removing the foundation of this entire world, this entire economic system. Even they're telling you that it is a mathematical impossibility that America can resolve her debt situation. Even they are telling you that the global debt to GDP ratio is so high that even if all of the nations put their GDP together, they could not pay off not alone the world's debt. They couldn't just pay off America's debt. There's no help in this time. And God allows this to happen because this is the change of the world. I'm going to go into the clip, but before I go into the clip, let me go to the 424. Let me see. 424, I say unto you, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
How you doing, my good brother Gerald?
Listeners. Yes, sir. How's everything with you, brother? Haven't heard you live in a while. Hope everything all is well with you and the family.
Before you go, let me address that. I'm glad you brought that up. I have been blocked. They have been. I just was able to get one of my computers up today. I was scheduling a show, and like my computers, all of them came under attack. Shut it down. I have not been able to do it, so I have been scheduling like replays on the laptop. I'm not laptop, but my tablet. So I couldn't do anything because all three of my other computers were down. So that's what happened, brother. But go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Now, brother, I wanted to point out something in which that you spoke of in the in relation to the African situation, where the devil was going in there, and he recognizes, you know, Africa, of course, is the area in which that, you know, he in Europe relies on the natural resources that they steal and they take back to Europe and then, you know, refine and sell, you know, like gold and, you know, you got diamonds and things of that nature, natural resources, as well as the oil and the gold. I just want to read something of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the Fall of America, page 185. The messenger says the white man cannot live in luxury unless he has the black man in his place of possession in subjection to his will. But as I repeatedly say in this paper and in all of my writings, you cannot make God and his prophets liars, nor can we reserve the time of their prediction in which these things would take place. So the time has come. This is nothing but justice, that we have possession of what is ours, our own. The white man is conscious of the fact that he deceived the black man of the knowledge of the black man and his possessions. But that particular authority was given divinely, temporarily, but by the same divinity, it is now being taken from the white race. The white race is facing doom because she would not act according to justice and righteousness, which was not by nature put in her. But this is known, and her race is frightened concerning her future, as we see here in America. The white man recognizes this coming doom, and many of them would rather die here than go elsewhere outside of America to try to defend what they call their own independent sovereignty. Some have poured gasoline on over themselves and committed suicide by setting themselves afire. This is a very new and open act of a people who want every other people, black, brown, yellow, and red on earth, to fight their wars to save their independence. A ruthless and brutal people like America, England, and Germany should be ashamed in the modern time to look for these people whom they have robbed, killed, murdered, and brought under subjugation by force to think that today they should be so soundly asleep that they ignore the time and the authority that they can unite, as a European has been doing against black African, brown, and yellow Asia. As the book says to the white race, as thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. The white man must return to Europe and concentrate on that continent for his future, or else concentrate on his death instead of his life. For they can no longer rule the black man. The black man now knows where his home is, and he now is rising up to take possession of that which is his. And one other thing also, brother, in relation to the white genocide that they allegedly are claiming that is taking place in South Africa, we know that's not the fact, because the black man nature is not to kill openly as the white man does. The white man nature, he was made to kill. That's his nature. He can't help himself. That's the nature in which he was made. When Yaqub grafted him, he grafted through the grafting process, you know, with murder and lying going on. So the same process he was born into the world, he took on the very characteristics of that which he was born out of. One other last thing, brother, there's a lady. Her name is Dr. Karen Smith. And she's a senior lecturer of the Department of Political Studies at the University of Cape Town in South Africa. And she said the white genocide thing is basically the devil allowing it to build up steam. And she said that America won't be involved with the white genocide in South Africa until it gets out of control like a civil war. And then come in as peacekeepers with their NGOs, of course, and claim what they've been wanting all along, which is the uranium, where there's a lot of mining going on there right now as a present. She says whoever controls the oil controls the power in the world, and who controls the uranium controls the nuclear power. And nuclear weapons in the world also, America will ultimately try to claim these resources in South Africa and stay there. They don't want China nor Russia to get their hands on the uranium. And wars are for profit, not democracy. So just to touch on them things, once again, brother, it's beautiful to hear you live and continue on with the beautiful teachings. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you. And also, brother, one point that she missed out, but I see you kind of said it indirectly, and I'll go to the phone lines in just a second again, is that this thing, as it's heating up, as with anything, they always put it on a simmer and build it up so that the white man can justify himself intervening. But one of the main reasons why South Africa is the target, they've gotten rid of Mugabe in Zimbabwe and Zuma in South Africa. and the new president is instituting reform, give back the land to black people. The reason, one of the main reasons, is because South Africa is the S in the BRICS, B-R-I-C-S, the BRICS nations. These nations are a counterweight, counterpole to the Western hegemonic plans of total world domination. So what they did, they incapacitated Brazil through a coup that overthrew the elected government and president. Then the most popular politician in Brazil's history, Lula, the Lula who was going to run back for president, they imprisoned him, and nobody is talking about the democracy there because he was a staunch backer of the BRICS, and he wanted to put South America on the pathway out of colonial America's power. And so they incapacitated Brazil. Thereafter, South Africa, they put a wedge in between India and China, and now they're sanctioning Russia. They're trying to break up the BRICS so that the dollar hegemony could stay and remain. This is one of the things that they're not talking about, okay? So all of this has everything to do with prophecy and the fall of America and the fall of white power. Let me go to the 310 with 308. Let me say unto you, if they allow me. As-salamu alaykum. 310-308-2915. Okay, let me mute that for a second. Okay. Anyway, brothers and sisters, again, I see the time is running down. If you will, because there's never enough time to talk about this. I know some of you are in a rush, but I want you to look at it like this. Let us analyze this, because my time is precious just like yours. But I take the time out, and I spend hours and hours and hours getting clips, listening to the news, doing clips for you, and it takes a long time. My mom witnessed that yesterday, how long it takes just to do a couple clips, all right? And I feel that my time is just as precious as yours, but I'm on the air and I'm trying to talk to you. And it takes so much just to lay the base, and I'm looking at it and the time is like 10 minutes left. If you will, I know it's going to extend over because I have about six more clips to play. And they range in between 3 minutes and 5 minutes apiece. Would you give me that time? Don't answer your phone. Don't click over. If you... or on your computer, don't go to another screen, still, or you will be lost when the live streaming stops, okay? And if you get cut off during this, please go back and listen to the whole part of the show because you could have missed out on something that is very, very vital and important to your health and your salvation and to your well-being mentally, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, and economically and politically, okay? This is the Star and Crescent Report, the most powerful platform for truth on the face of planet Earth. Now, as we talk about it, and we were just talking about how America is intervening in everybody and the Western press is beating the drums for intervention everywhere. And you heard the clip where the white man says that the whole world knows that America is broke. She's bankrupt, right? I want you to listen. I got to play this clip again. I want you to listen to what Jim Rogers has to say about America's precarious position that she now finds herself in. This is a little over 3 minute clip, and I want you to listen to how he describes America as the largest debtor nation in the history of the world. In the history. This world has been here not 6,000 years, not 4 billion years like they want to lie to you. This world has been here, this earth I should say, has been here for over 78 trillion years. And no nation on earth has ever had the debt that America now has, and that burden can never be unchained. I want you to listen to this.
As promised, bringing you all the latest, I'm now joined live by Jim Rogers, American businessman and financial commentator who's based in Singapore. He's in St. Petersburg at the forum taking part in the Valdai Club session, turning back the clock, political rivalry versus economic interaction. Mr. Rogers, thank you for joining us on RT International. Now, European businesses, particularly German and French companies, have been calling for U.S. sanctions against Russia to be dropped. Do you think that's likely anytime soon?
I know that Europeans want it. Many people in the world think the sanctions are absurd, including me. I hope they're dropped. I don't think it will happen anytime soon, though.
Do you not think European countries might revolt against U.S. restrictions and go it alone with Russia?
Yes, that's a different story. That's a different question. Will America withdraw the sanctions? Probably not. Will the Europeans say we're going to do it anyway? Probably so. The Germans don't see any reason for it. The Italians, many people, do not see any reason for the sanctions, and they will pull out.
Now, with Russia going to impose counter-sanctions against the U.S., how do you think that's going to play out? Do you think it's going to impact the man on the street? Bless you.
In a very small way. Thank you. In a very small way. I know Russia has to do something, but I hope the Russians will be restrained so that this can blow over and we can get rid of this eventually.
It does seem that sanctions, bless you again, bless you. It does seem that sanctions are the leverage of choice for some Western countries. Are they effective, though?
I don't know of any sanctions in history that have had a major effect. Yes, they affect some individuals and some companies and sectors, but historically speaking, I know of none that have had a major effect. Sometimes they hurt some people, but they help. For instance, agriculture in Russia right now is booming because of sanctions. It has helped Russian agriculture.
Now, what this forum is all about, as you know, is big business leaders like yourself coming together, putting their heads together, looking to the future, analyzing what the present situation is in the business world. So what do you think is the biggest challenge to the world economy today?
Trade wars, sanctions. We need to open up. We need to open up economies. We need to open up financial systems. We need more openness, not closing off. The world has learned throughout history that closing off is not good. Opening up is good.
Mr. Rogers, what are you most looking forward to at this year's forum? Is there going to be, is there a highlight for you? Is there something you're particularly looking forward to, some kind of answers you're looking for?
Well, whenever I come to something like this, I hope I'm going to find something new and different and an opportunity. I would love to come away from this saying, wow, I found a great investment opportunity, and then I could participate. Will I? I don't know. I'll speak to you next week.
Look forward to that. Fingers crossed for you. That's Jim Rogers, American businessman and financial commentator based in Singapore. Thank you for your time. Enjoy the forum.
Anyway, he didn't say that on this clip, but that's what it's titled. U.S. I got this from RT. But anyway, he talks about how these trade wars are going on. Why is there a trade war? Why is there a trade war? Because nations are seeing their economies being destroyed by U.S. sanctions. Nations are seeing their economic independence being destroyed by sanctions. Nations are now willing to fight back because they see the basis of American and Western domination gutted. They no longer have the gold. They no longer have the silver. All they have is the military component through the threat of war. What does Russia say? Don't threaten the nations. What did America say? North Korea must disarm. They have 30 nuclear bombs. And then in the same breath, we have proposed that we're going to invest $10 trillion in our nuclear weapons. This is America. On the one end, Iran can't have a slingshot. North Korea must disarm 30 nuclear bombs. You don't say nothing about Israel with 200 nuclear bombs. You don't say nothing about Great Britain with 300 nuclear bombs. You don't say nothing about France with 350 nuclear bombs, right? You don't say nothing about your allies or yourself with over 10,000 nuclear bombs. But Iran can't have nuclear technology and for us to lift the sanctions off North Korea. Illegal sanctions, I may add. They must not only submit to our demands, they must ship out all of their missiles that are capable of hitting the U.S. continent. But I thought you said they couldn't hit the U.S. continent. They must ship out all of their weapons, and they must send their fissile material from their nuclear warheads, all 30 nuclear or 60 nuclear warheads, to the United States for verification. You see the madness in this? I can have some, but you can't. It's a threat to peace and stability if you have it, but you're the only one that used it. Everybody else is a threat to peace. What peace? Your peace of mind of being able to rule the nations under your dictates. And if anybody can rebuff your arrogance, your imperial hubris, then that's a threat to the peace of your international order. Because it's yours. And that's why it's in decline. And the whole world knows this. You know, the time is running out. And it's going, but please give me a little time with you. Because I want you to hear a few of these clips about the situation now facing America and Europe. And this is why you see them up in arms. Again, they are losing not only their economic prowess, not only their political influence. The reason that they are pushing the world to the brink of war is because they are losing their world. One world is dying, a natural death, while another world is merging in and bringing in a base of freedom, justice, and equality. And this is why America is sanctioning nations. She can no longer play. She can't play on an even field. Why do you think, and as I say, her international policy is a reflection of her domestic policy. What am I saying? She can't have a level playing field. So if you look, they always talk about affirmative action. Anything that might help somebody else get on their feet. Yet they always have affirmative action. If you go into these businesses, most of these businesses hire their own, right? And then these business owners get tax breaks from the government. And then they're able to afford lawyers that can sift through the tax laws. This is affirmative action for them, okay? They cannot play on an even playing field with their ex-slaves, because if they do, they'll get routed. They've even said as much throughout their history. Go Google this stuff. And that is a reflection of their policies internationally, and this is why they are so frightened of Russia. They're so frightened of China. They're so frightened of a rise of Africa. Because if there's an even playing field without America as being that indispensable nation, she may fall into the also-ran category. And that's what she fears, being irrelevant. But nothing she can do will stop this, because she is already being pushed into the dustbin of irrelevance. You understand? So I want you to listen to what is happening in this global market. Pay close attention to this.
And I know the market, I was telling you about the market, and wow, at one point it was down 500 points yesterday. And you're like, ah, you know, yes, you're right, but we ought to talk about the bond market. A big swing in the stock market. What in the heck is going on?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, what people aren't really considering, and it's kind of right in our face, but I think it's being, you know, they don't talk about it. I'm talking about the mainstream financial channels, or I refer to them as the Confederacy of Dunces. Basically, it's the financial sector that is taking a major hit because of, again, why? Let's review a little bit here so we can have a little fun. So why would the financial sector be taking a big hit here, pulling stocks with it? Well, for those that are not aware, the financial sector is the largest sector of them all. Now, let's back up a little bit. How many of you out here with the show of hands? Oh, you, I see you. Okay. Remember the European debt crisis. Well, the European debt crisis was never fixed. They kind of just added more debt onto a debt issue. They maxed out their credit card. They found a way to, you know, borrow a little bit more. And that's the main issue that is driving the markets here today. They want people to believe it's political turmoil going on over there. Well, of course, that's playing into this. But it's the fact that some of the largest economies on earth over there in Europe are now once again facing their moment of truth, a debt crisis. There's all kinds of issues going on in their debt market right now. That's affecting financial stocks around the world, subsequently pulling the stock market down. Look, this is not rocket science. All you got to do is avoid watching the mainstream financial channels, because they're going to make you, oh, look here. Don't look here. They've been playing up the charade, Greg, and you know this, and I am more than certain that your followers are well aware that we're in some kind of epic global recovery like we've never seen before. It's beautiful. Well, all we've done here, and including here in the United States, is borrow ourselves into oblivion. It's fake. And because the debt market is in such a massive bubble around the world, and now we're getting this new debt crisis here in Europe, well, it's going to bleed off around the world now. A major effort is going on here with regard to our central bank, the Federal Reserve, to keep that bond market prop up. I mean, we've watched over the past couple of weeks, Greg, you are more aware of this than I think anybody, the U.S. 10-year yield go from like 3.11, 3.12 to 2.78 in a matter of a couple of weeks. This is an enormous, enormous move. And in order for that to happen, an enormous, enormous amount of cash would have to be making its way over into the bond market. Again, this is rigged. It is fake.
So you see the trouble. Everything is being exposed. Now, mind you, if they did not unhinge the currency from the gold reserve standards, if they did not undo some of the laws that were put in place to maintain the gold as the basis for the currency, you would not be able to see the level of corruption and greed and arrogance in the system, would you? So God allowed them to unhinge and unhook the currency, which in essence, the economy is also, from the gold standard, from a silver-based standard. And now you're looking at it in its pure form. It is parasitic by nature and deceptive by nature. And so it is eating itself up. And now debt is coming back to hunt. And that's why we see inflation coming in. That's why we see they're trying to sell you a dream. More means less means more. And more is bad. So they compact products now and sell it to you two or three times as much as they would when you had more. Because they're trying to mask inflation because the system is imploding. The debt bombs are exploding. And they only have so many options left to try to prevent it. But nothing they do can stop what's coming on. They know this. And matter of fact, Greg Manorino says so in his three-minute clip. He says that this will end horribly. And he's talking about the dollar and the bond market. So he's talking about a crash. He's alluding to a dollar crash, and he's alluding to a meltdown in the bond market. And if there's a meltdown in the bond market, there is a meltdown economically in the structure of American finance, which is the basis that in England, which is the basis for European or Western economic hegemony. You understand? So you see how these things are interconnected. Okay, let's listen to this. I'm going to try to get as many as I can play for you, okay? Here we go. If they allow it. They're blocking me. Hold on 1 second, brothers and sisters. I have to go through this mess. Oh, here it is.
Fake.
And then yet we have the dollar. Let me jump in here with you. We have the dollar. I mean, a couple of, 2 or 3 months ago, we were in the high 80s. We thought, oh, my God, it's going to take a cliff dive. And all of a sudden, all this money comes rushing out of Europe into America. Martin Armstrong brought this up, too, that you know, we're the prettiest ugly sister, his words, not mine. We're the prettiest ugly sister. The dollar went from, I don't know, 88 or 89 to 94, 95. I mean, it's another massive move while they're dumping all this money into the bond market. What gives?
The only reason why we're the prettiest ugly sister is because we have the world's reserve currency. There's no other reason. We can borrow more than everybody else because of that reason. This is all going to end horribly. Yes, the dollar has been getting stronger. That's also a fly in the ointment, and it's all I've been talking about lately with these markets here. The current administration has made it very plain. They do not want the dollar strong. They want a weaker dollar. The Federal Reserve is going to continue to print cash out of thin air, add it to a digital screen. The dollar will dilute. They have no choice but to do that. They have to keep the bond yield suppressed. How do they do that? They have to, again, print it out of thin air, add it to a digital screen more than likely, and buy bonds. This is how they manage to keep rates where they are. Again, you and I have discussed this. The Fed is not magic. They have no divine-inspired power here. They have to get into the market and make it happen. They have to buy bonds. So that no quantitative easing has never ended. It's continuing on as we speak. We also know that world central banks are doing things under the table here, buying each other's debt. There's no doubt that's going on in my mind to try to keep this propped up. Now, this issue in Europe, let me just say this real quick. This issue that's unfolding here in Europe has the potential to be a tsunami, to start this tsunami of a correction to fair value around the world, something I've been talking about for a very, very long time. It's not a crash. It's a correction because everything has been distorted. World central banks are on a buying binge unlike anything that has ever been seen or recorded in world history since the 2008 event, which, in my opinion, still stands, was the party over moment. This has all been propped up on the back of reinflating bubbles, and these world central banks have been very crafty in doing this. I mean, it's seriously almost – you almost have to admire it in a sick, twisted way that they've managed to reinflate stock market bubbles, reinflate housing bubbles around the world, try to convince the world, and especially here in the United States, because people here, as far as I'm concerned, for the most part, they're dumbed down more than anyone else on the planet. But they've convinced them, or they've convinced people that everything's okay. But here we go again, and I've been saying for the longest time, and so have you, that this European debt crisis was going to rear its ugly head again. Well, here it is. What are they going to do next? Don't know. But we can see what's happening here to the euro. The euro is getting punished. Their bond market is in turmoil. Does this sound familiar to anybody? I mean, I've been yelling.
Well, you're like the lead up to the 2008 crisis, isn't it? I mean, isn't this, crisis 2.0?
But it's much worse.
2.0?
Much, much worse.
So, he says that this is not a crash. This is a correction. Now, a correction means to straighten something out, right? To right or wrong. So that means if the market is correcting, that means that it was wrong. It was crooked. It was not straight. It was not on the level. And so something has to get this and put it in the proper state. And what that means is that there will be a meltdown of biblical proportions where there will be total wealth destruction. He talks about a debt tsunami. A debt tsunami. Do you know what a tsunami is? Man, I'm telling you, tsunamis can have 20, 30, 40, 50, 100-foot waves that beat against the shorelines of countries, destroying all life on the shorelines and destroying all infrastructure. Well, he's talking about a debt tsunami coming, that they can't get around this because things will be bad. Matter of fact, and he even goes so far as what Muslim Muhammad says, the writing on the wall is the fall of America. When Honorable Elijah Muhammad talks about the fall of America and how they know about the writing on the wall, I can't find my fall of America at this moment because I'm trying to talk to you all. But I want you to listen to what he said. They are telling you that the writing is on the wall for this system, for this people. They know these things, and you are still trying to prevent their decline. You're still trying to prevent their fall, right? He talks about Europe. As a matter of fact, before I go into that clip here about the correction and the writing on the wall, I want to also go into something because just to let you know if Europe listens to this show, because some of you think that we're just local, and I'm just going to point out some nations in Europe that listen. Portugal. I'm on the stats of the show right now, so I'm going to point out some to you to let you know that this is global, and people listen to this show. So they understand the credibility of this show, right? So look, just in Europe, Portugal, Spain, Italy, Germany, France, England, Wales, Ireland, Norway, Sweden, Belarus, Russia, Slovakia, all of the republics of the former Yugoslavia, and I think that's about 8 or 9 of them, Bulgaria, Romania, Ukraine, Poland, what is this little country here? Estonia. Even Estonia. Listen to this show. What is, let's see. Australia. We're talking about white nations right now. Canada. You know, and the colonies of Britain, like the island nations, Jamaica, let me see, what's this? Let me put this on here. This is Dominican Republic, Bermuda, and then Asia. Most of all of Asia, listen, we have nations in Africa. We have a lot of nations in Africa, a lot of nations in South America. That's to show you that this show is global, not just on you. I'm looking at the stats, and I'm like, wow, the stuff is lit up in blue, light blue and dark blue. And there's only a few white things up in there, which shows you that the country that don't listen to you here and there. But what I'm saying to you is that it has some type of credibility if the heart of Europe listens to the show. And we're talking about European power being collapsed. We're talking about American power collapsed. They know what's going on. They understand this. It is the so-called American Negro who is blind, deaf, and dumb to the reality of the time and don't understand that they are the key component in all of what you see. All of what you see. Because if America did not mistreat you, there would be no need to remove America. And if there was no need to remove America, there would be no need to remove the base of this world. You understand? So, let's go to this clip here. They know the writing's on the wall. This is a six-minute clip. I won't keep you. I guess what I'll do is play this clip here, this six-minute clip, and then I won't play the other clips. I'll just come back and let the show off with the this last clip. So we'll listen to the six-minute clip. We'll come back, and we'll analyze what was said. Then we'll play just one more clip, a short clip, and we'll end the show on that short clip instead of our normal we'll end the show, okay? Because I feel your patience, but I want you to hear what's going on. They see this stuff happening. It is you who are the ones that are not paying attention because you two into the NBA finals. But listen.
2.0? Much, much worse.
Well, when you say it corrects the fair value, what does that mean? Because I hear that and I think, what does that mean? Where's the Dow? Where's the bond market? Where's the dollar? What's the correction going to look like?
That's a beautiful question, Greg. And
hit
I would
me with
love
what you think.
Where's
the Dow going to end up?
Well, let's before we go to where the Dow is going to end up, let's try to look at what the bond market is going to do. It's a very, very simple set of dynamics here. So the real question that people need to ask themselves here that are listening to this is what is the value of all this debt and the derivatives of? What is the real value of it? It's, you know, it's inflated on the back of the world central banks. It will never be paid back here. Oh. So what's the true value of it? So what I'm trying to get at is bond yields in a real market would not be anywhere near where they are now.
Be higher, much higher.
Much higher. And it's above my pay grade, seriously, or most people probably on the planet. Nobody here is smart enough to know, nobody, what the true value of debt is. I don't care if you're a Fed president. I don't care if you're running the Fed. I don't care if you're President Donald Trump. You're not smart enough to know what the true value of debt is. When world central banks have run amok over the past decade now, printing and buying everything they can in sight just to keep things inflated, and that has inflated the stock market bubble. So going back to your question.
What does the reset look like? Revision or, you know, everything going back to fair value? What does that look like?
Well, exactly. And this is not just Greg Mannarino saying this anymore. This is prior Fed presidents now here, Alan Greenspan warning of a major spike here with regard to bond yields. It's Wall Street banks warning of this as well. So look, the writing is on the wall, but people just don't see it because they're watching the Confederacy of Dunces and they think everything is just fine. But the fact of the matter is we are going to face a moment where bonds are going to sell off very rapidly and no action by world central banks is going to be able to stop the bleeding. That means yields will spike very, very rapidly. When yields spike, you get all this cash leaving the bond market here. Yields are spiking, putting pressure on the stock market. You get a sell-off here in the bond market, a sell-off here in the stock market. As you know, And people who know my work, cash is not going to go to money heaven. It's simply going to look for another a place to go. And I think it's going to be, again, it's so simple, into suppressed assets, things that they've been rigging now for an entire decade. How could world debt explode the way it is? And certain assets, I'm referring to gold and silver here, not also be exploding to the upside. These things are priced in dollars. So more dollars, well, you know, it should make common sense. It should be common sense to everyone that things that are priced in dollars should go up, like crude oil, although we've seen a pretty big sell-off over the past couple of days. But this is how it's going to play out. It's very, very simple. Nobody knows what the true value of debt is. Therefore, no one could make a really accurate prediction of where the Dow Jones Industrial Average would be. But I can tell you this, probably two-thirds lower than it is today. That's probably fair value for the Dow. Maybe less than that. I mean, I don't know. We have companies right now that are buying back shares of their own stock like we have never seen before. All this cash that got repatriated here to the United States under President Trump, it's being put to work. Yes, companies are using it to buy back shares of their own stock. Now, they're going to try to convince people, oh, we're trying to return cash to our shareholders. This is a joke. Because if they really want to return cash to their shareholders, Greg, all they would need to do is raise the dividend. This is a deliberate effort to prop up the market. It's all playing together, period. And there's going to be an awful price to pay for this for people that are on the wrong side of this market. It's very, very sad. And again, maybe, and I'm hoping that your listeners are smart enough to understand where this is going and that they need to start taking action here. They're getting very desperate. And I'm a little bit, honestly, shook up about what I'm seeing here in Europe. All we need is one little spark here to get this thing really going. Is this the spark? Time will tell. But what I do know, Greg, and I'm sure you're aware of this too, and probably most of your listeners, the closing bell just went off, by the way.
How far are we down?
Let me see. Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down about 400 and – no, I'm sorry, 300. Wow. Okay. Maybe pretty 390, 370. Let's see where zero's out
swing.
At.
Big swing.
Pretty big swing here. You know, it finished down. The Dow finished down 1.58%. Nasdaq only finished down 0.5%.
But anyway. You're talking about Europe and how you're.
Yeah, Europe is.
And look at Deutsche Bank. I mean, they're laying off 7,000 people globally.
And we've been hearing this. Yeah, and we've been hearing about this for a while now. Now, but what I want people to understand and what they really need to think about. Why would the financial sector, why would the banks get melted down on the day that we just had here? You know, it's pulling the rest of the market down. Because, again, look, these institutions here, first of all, they're not going to lose. They never do. And the whole thing that took place in 2008 was just a show, the Lehman Brothers and the Bear Stearns thing. Bear got absorbed by J.P. Morgan, Lehman Brothers. They had to have a sacrificial lamb here. All this stuff, all the bad stuff here got bought up. Everyone knows it. And this isn't what they're going to do again, but this is going to be much, much worse.
See? They see it coming. They know that the writing's on the wall. Isn't that something? But you want to fuss and argue about the situation at hand. He said a massive correction is coming. Matter of fact, let's go to the dictionary real quick. See, we got to elaborate, then we got to play this clip and close out. Because I feel your patience. But listen what it says. The word correction, the act or an instance of correcting such as an amendment, rectification, rebuke, punishment, a bringing into conformity with a standard, neutralization, counteraction, a decline in market price or business activity following and counteracting a rise, something substituted in place of what is wrong. A quantity applied by way of correcting as for adjustment of an instrument. Now, is that something that says the treatment and rehabilitation of offenders through a program involving penal custody, parole, and probation. All right? So what we're looking at is this, a neutralization and counteraction of the corruption of the system. We're looking at a rebuke and a punishment through wealth destruction. Because God amended what they put out there, and he is rectifying it, right? Is that not right? Because of their business activities of deception in the market prices, and he is substituting right for what is wrong. What does that mean? That's the judgment, right? That is the judgment in words, in layman's terms. So what we're looking at when he's talking about the correction, we're looking at a transformation from what is wrong into what is right. That is the judgment. All praises due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. They know these things. They know these things. So I'm going to play this last little clip, and we're going to wind it up, okay, because I feel your patience. Listen to this. Let me see. For this is a 1 minute and 42-second clip, and then we're going to wrap it up. Listen to this. What they're talking, be ready for worst case scenarios. They see what's coming. So pay attention to this. Hold on 1 second. They are stopping me from trying to, okay, here we are. Let's see if they'll allow it. Yes.
Anything in, you know, buy groceries with? I don't know. We've seen this before in the falls of other empires, the Soviet Union. Oh, yeah, you know what? You give us 10 of these and we're going to give you one of these. You know, something like that has the potential to happen here. But what I think people need to understand, really, is they need to be ready for a worst-case scenario. You can never say things are not going to be so bad. Because if they're not so bad, well, you're better off. But if you're ready for that worst-case scenario, and it happens, at least you're kind of ready for it. And I think that, again, the world has been engulfed by world central banks' actions of buying everything, printing cash, distorting the prices of assets beyond belief, that I think anyone who has even a few functioning brain cells and understands these markets, it's off the Richter scale. It's just, even for me, and I study this stuff around the clock. You know that, Greg, around the clock. I'm thinking about these markets. I'm studying these markets. I'm looking at where cash is going. I'm looking at the bond market. It never leaves my head. So for someone like me, that this is all I do, to not really be able to get a full grip on it, I think that says a lot. But people got to be ready for what may come down the pike here, and keep your eye on Europe right now and their debt market, because there is the potential here for this to create a contagion or a wave that will sweep around the globe. It's got to start somewhere. It may have just started. We'll know soon enough.